When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Hi, this is Jorgen Hesseberg, and you are listening to the Agile Uprising Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Agile Uprising Podcast. I'm your host, James Gifford, coming to you from the Mile High Agile Conference in Denver as we continue our on-location series, you know, trying to get out into the field and meet new people, hear some new exciting voices. And so for this episode, we're going to have Thayer students talk about their experience with using Agile in the classroom. So definitely a topic that would be, you know, it's forefront on a lot of people's minds and kind of something that's expanding. So we look forward to hearing from the kids.
All right. Thank you. So my name is Brett Thayer, and I'm a teacher in Jefferson County Public Schools in Colorado. And ever since 2015, I've been using Agile in the classroom and adapting that to where the kids are in charge of basically their learning, which is actually where it needs to be. And so I'm really happy to introduce today three of my students who are going to present not only Agile in the classroom, but talk to you today about what they do and what their experiences are. So first we have Max.
Hi.
And then we have Molly. And then finally we have Jack.
Hello.
And I'm excited about them telling their stories. So I'm gonna turn it over to them and you.
Awesome. Well, you know, it's great to meet all of you. It's you know, it's always good to be able to get out and talk to new faces, and you guys are very new. So what grade are you all in school, in life?
Max and I are seniors, and Molly's going to be a junior.
Awesome. So can you tell me about like your experience, like what has it been like to kind of work through bringing these practices kind of into school? So I'm assuming you guys are following something around Scrum. So can you guys talk to me a little bit about like how you guys do it? Like, do you have a backlog of? Well, so I guess we could start with, I guess, you know, Scrum's got three roles, three ceremonies, and three artifacts. Mm-hmm. So we could just kind of, I think we could start with something simple and talk a little bit about the, we could talk about project-based learning, and then we could maybe kind of tie that into some of how you guys work through the different roles.
So explain how you've used Scrum processes in APC.
So in AP seminar, we had two presentations that we had to do. We had an individual one and we had a team presentation. And how we used Scrum is we essentially used it to organize how we were going to get through those presentations and organize all the different aspects of our research and organize exactly how we were going to get through our different projects.
So for the research stuff, did you break down like your research artifacts into backlog items? Like, if you were going to explore different facets of, you know, a topic, would you kind of break it down into those kind of backlog items?
Yeah, we kind of did. How we divided this up, we started with developing a topic that we were going to research. So in the beginning of the school year, we researched Rocky Flats and how it may or may not be safe. And we started with that big topic, and then we broke it down into different themes. I myself took the ethical lens, we had a scientific lens, and I believe a historical lens on the issue, and that's where we broke it up into the different research. So we took those lens and we took those lenses and we broke them down into research questions and then based the rest of our project off the research that we found about that topic.
Now, did you guys like time box the research? Like, did you say like every 2 weeks we got to come back and like review this with the group, or how did that work out?
Well, so at the beginning of the year, we were kind of just testing out the Scrum board. So we did try to do that, but some of our research took longer than we had planned on. But for the second semester, we did only have 30 days for every project for College Board. So at the beginning, during sprint planning, we all created schedules where we broke our projects and all the tasks down into weeks so that every week a certain amount of tasks were to be due so that we were all on the same page and we could get our project done in time so that we could turn it into College Board.
It's interesting. So what were, you know, so I guess you guys kind of run into one of the cons of Scrum is kind of the time box. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it sounds like you guys inspected and adapted and you went from, you know, first semester's learning and playing and experimenting to kind of pivoting to a different way of working. So can you talk to me about how maybe you guys come up with some of those insights to kind of make that pivot?
A lot of it was primarily trial and error. There were several things that we had to adapt from the original Scrum model to meet more of the classroom needs. So one of them, a big one, was instead of a testing phase, we used a more peer review type thing because not, unlike the IT world, not everything really needed to be tested. It was more like simple tasks that could be accomplished by most people. And then we would peer review our big essays. We adapted the time frame because we found that without a really rigid one, small tasks could take too long. So we actually, at the end of the first semester, we came together and we talked about what was working and what wasn't. And we found that a really strict timeline was a really good way of getting the tasks done. And I think our third one was the role of the Scrum Master. We kind of adapted that to meet the classroom needs. It started with Mr. Thayer, who has taken the Scrum Master training and was doing a good job of leading us. We saw him as not necessarily another student who would be more involved in the process. He's kind of like an outside voice. So what we did was the second semester, we actually ran our own daily stand-ups, and we kind of alternated the role of Scrum Master to try and give everyone the opportunity to not only lead the group, but to give everyone a better understanding of where everyone was at in the process. So I think that was a big one that we really adapted into.
That's interesting. So did you guys eventually, now as a student, now kind of gravitating towards the being the Scrum Master? Or?
It was, I wouldn't say forced, but everyone was, I'd say, given the opportunity to be Scrum Master, with everyone participating at least once, just so, because there was no real person in charge because it was a group project. So we all worked together and then we were all accountable for each other versus one person, because we didn't really have that one person. Because of the nature of AP Seminar, which is a team project type class working on collaboration, we thought it was best to give everyone an opportunity to do that.
So it sounds like you guys just kind of found self-organization. So did, you know, anybody can chime in, but like, how did your, was it tough for your self-organization to kind of, you know, we work with, you know, many adults trying to get them to self-organize, and they have kind of like their own baggage around why they don't get together or why they don't want to work with this person. Like, was it hard for you guys to kind of find that self-collaboration and like evolve into kind of self-organizing around that work?
I definitely think that it was a challenge at the beginning, because when we came into this class, we may have known like just a couple people in the class, so we weren't really like a cohesive team. But as we worked throughout the year and we did like team building exercises it became a lot easier to be able to work together as part of a team.
That's really interesting. So, you know, with every Scrum team and things like that, you know, we got the ceremonies kind of working through. What was your experience with, like the daily stand-up? So it sounded like you guys were able to self-organize around some of the work, but, you know, you're still trying to go through the ceremonies and getting together and talking about, hey, what did you get done? What are we working on? Like, how are we doing towards our sprint goals? Like, what was that like to kind of have that meeting and kind of get together and kind of let people know how things were going?
I think it went really well for us just because it kind of gave us a quick refresher of what we may have worked on the day before. Or sometimes we have since we only have class 4 days a week, we will sometimes come back to class without having class the day before, and it's kind of hard to remember what we may have been working on. So just sharing with the group where you are right now in your project just really helps you get your mind back in gear for the rest of class and for research. And it really helped us get help if we were experiencing any roadblocks or maybe changes, or we just needed help in areas to research or how to organize our ideas. This really gave us an opportunity to ask our peers for help, especially since Mr. Thayer really wasn't allowed to help us all that much.
So one of the things does this research like happen during like the actual school periods, or is like this stuff you also have to do out like homework? Like,
it's primarily in class. The entirety of the curriculum is really based on these individual and team research projects. I mean, some of it can be done outside of class, but for the most part, we were just working in the classroom.
And that was the thing I was trying to kind of, like, because I'm thinking back to, like, school days, and I'm like, that was way too long ago. But I'm like, we had all kind of homework, and, like, if I had to do a research paper, it was all after school stuff. So it's cool that you guys are getting the opportunity to do research work in the class, and, like, that's the whole point of it is learning to do research, because, like, going to making that transition from high school to college and needing to do that, like, I was terrible.
Yeah.
So we got the daily stand-up, you know, what goes along with the daily stand-up would be, like, burn-down charts. And
yes.
Kind of reporting progress on, you know, where we are and how we're measuring towards, like, completing that sprint goal. So what was it like using burn-down charts? Were there pros, cons, like, challenges with kind of doing that?
So we organized our burn-down charts with the number of tasks left to do over the distance of time. So it's like, I think we had 30 days. So it was in incremental time blocks. And for me, I kind of used it more as a wake up call, because I would like be moving my sticky notes and feeling pretty good. And then I realize I'm way off the slope of the line and I'm nowhere near where I need to be. So I used it kind of to like kick my butt in gear and get my dot closer to the line. And I will say that one of our classmates was a lot better at getting stuff done quickly, which kind of worked as almost an incentive to try and get closer to that person, because they were well below the line because they got their stuff done so quickly. So we also kind of used it as communicating with each other where we were at, because you don't always pay attention to when everyone moves a sticky, so you can see how they're doing compared to you.
Awesome. Would either of you two would like to weigh in on that as well?
I personally used the burn-down chart as a way to see what I could use in my own research, because, as Jack said before, one of the students in the class was very good at keeping their stuff below the line, and it kind of allowed me to ask questions about what I was doing that wasn't allowing me to move as fast, and I was trying to observe to see what they were doing so I could also use that same tactic so I was moving along in my research.
Yeah, and even with me, I didn't really use it as much to see if I was working fast enough, just because I was able to create a schedule for myself and stay on task. I kind of used it as a way of improving how I'm using my Scrum board, just because some of my tasks I found were smaller, so I could get those done a lot quicker, but others were a lot larger, and I probably could have broken those down into smaller tasks so that I could stay closer to the suggested line for the timeline.
And that was one of the things we saw in the trial and error period from first semester to second semester, was at first we didn't know like how Scrum tasks were supposed to be kind of smaller, not like week-long projects necessarily, and we would be too vague. So on our burned out charts, it would kind of just plateau and no movement was done because we didn't fully understand they should be things that you can accomplish and say, I've done this, not like I'm in the progress of doing this with a bunch of other things. So I think that was another thing we learned from just trying it out.
Yeah. Well, and I think, though, from a standpoint of you're trying to do research. So like if you have a topic that's well documented, it's going to be really easy to just find articles and incredible sources on it. But if it's, you know, when you're, I can imagine that like if you're trying to do some research on things that are obscure, mm-hmm. like there's going to be, I mean, I can remember crawling the internet for days, like page after page after page of Google. I'm like, I'm on page 10 of Google search and I found the thing I've looked at, but now I've had to read through, I've spent literally 3 hours doing nothing but trying to find that answer. So I guess when you guys broke those down and put some, did you guys estimate the size of your tasks or did you kind of go with that gut intuition of how big they were?
It's more gut intuition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys kind of think about like what you were researching and then looking at potentially how big it was or?
Yeah, that was part of the sprint planning, I think. That was like, we need to kind of limit where we're going because we only had 30 days. So we kind of set our own parameters on what we should be researching. And then we fill in the gaps from there.
Yeah, or even after like the sprint planning process, I personally found for me that I would come up with a research question and I'd have all my tasks and I'd be diving into research and even writing my paper. But even at that point, I found that I needed to adjust my research question and my topic to where it's not quite as broad and I needed to narrow it down just a little bit more just because of the time crunch and just so I could better organize my ideas and what I was trying to say.
And that's super interesting to kind of hear your perspective on that. So, you know, kind of from a standpoint of, you know, we want Agile teams to kind of reflect and approve and do, you know, retrospectives. Like how were you guys able to kind of make that your retrospectives effective? Because if was your time box the full month or did you like have like a halfway point? Like how did that work like with your retrospectives from your sprint? Like was your sprint the full month or was it like 2 weeks and 2 weeks, a week and a week? Like what did you guys use for your sprint cadence?
Well, we had 30 school days to complete the entire project. We did our retrospectives after we presented, and we kind of, first we did like an individual reflection where we reflected on ourselves and how we think our group performed. But then after we filled out sheets of paper writing those down, we kind of had a whole class discussion, and we even had a picture of the Santa Maria boat where we kind of made sticky notes and we wrote down what went well and what didn't go well, what we can improve for the future, and we just kind of shared out ideas for an entire class period, and it really helped us to improve things for next time, whether it's for our class or future classes.
So you guys ran the sailboat.
Yeah.
Nice. That's a fun one to run. So, but did you kind of find it weird to kind of open up about some of this, like some of the stuff you learned or observations? I mean, we see adults that won't share because they're embarrassed or scared to, you know, open up with each other. Was that something that was kind of a challenge for you guys in the retrospective?
At least for me, I didn't find it a challenge to open up about anything, but it was very, I guess, reassuring to see that I wasn't the only one struggling, because at least through my research, I thought that I wasn't going anywhere sometimes, and I thought that I was falling behind, but after everyone else shared out, it was kind of nice to see that I wasn't the only one that was having issues, and it helped kind of reassure myself that I was getting things done a little bit.
I think at least for the first semester, it was probably the most important one for us because that was kind of our trial period. We were seeing what worked, what didn't, what we saw in ourselves that we wanted to change for the actual thing, because the next semester it was actually for keeps. We would get an AP score based on how we performed. And I think that one was a full class period where we just talked about, as a class, what we can do to improve, how we can adapt Scrum to really meet the needs of our class, because some things were working, some things weren't. And as well, just adapting what we wanted ourselves to see. So like what I wanted my schedule to look like for the next semester, and how I could actually do better than the first time.
Interesting. So have you guys, you got the chance to learn about Scrum, you got to practice it. Have you guys seen, like, do you guys see taking what you learned in this class and taking it outside of this classroom into maybe your life or other classes? Or trying to help kind of promote that?
For sure. The next class in this whole like curriculum is AP Research, which is essentially almost kind of the same thing as AP Seminar. You just have to write a longer paper. And I definitely could see how we would use the teachings of Scrum in there to help organize ourselves again.
And I'm involved in this club called Academic World Quest, where it's kind of like a competition on current events. And what they give you is like 10 topics with 10 or 15 articles per thing to read through and kind of absorb the information, and then you compete against other schools. And one thing that I brought was we used a Trello board to see where everyone was at in their research, because it was such a big thing. So each article or video was its own task, and we could see where others were at. And I think it was really interesting to see kind of how we compared to our peers, and if we were behind or if we were ahead of them.
Yeah, I think it can definitely be used in other classes. I wouldn't say it can be used in all classes, just because some classes it makes sense more than others. Like, for example, in English class, maybe we'll have a group project and we have 2 weeks to do it. I think this would be very helpful to use, just because I find more often than not, there's usually one or two members who do all the work and then the rest of the group does nothing. But using Scrum really keeps everybody accountable. And even in my student council class, this would be very helpful for planning events, especially since there's like one committee head and then everybody else has a job. This would definitely keep people more accountable for what they're trying to do. And I think it'd keep everything a lot more organized.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to one of the teacher a while back around like them using like Agile or Kanban to organize the yearbook, because there's a lot of stuff that goes into like actually organizing and putting together a yearbook to get it published. And it's like you got this team of people that got to be rounding up pictures, mm-hmm. and all this stuff. So it was something that they tried when they organized the yearbook. They only used it for the yearbook. But, it was at least they were willing to give it a go. So, I really appreciate your guys' time. Do you guys have any kind of final thoughts or words you guys want to share with our listeners before you gotta dip out of here?
I think it's probably important to try and accustom kids more to how the world actually works with systems like Scrum, because I don't think the real world is memorizing fact tables for math. I think a lot of it's collaboration and working on projects with a team. And I think using Scrum, at least for me, was really good on accustoming myself to working with kids I might not know as well or I might not get along with, but still being able to put out a pretty good product that others can enjoy.
Yeah, I agree. And I think even if maybe the Scrum board doesn't work for all students, I think it's still very important to use, because it teaches you so many vital skills that we're going to use for life. Like, it really teaches us how to communicate with one another and how to collaborate and how to be creative and be organized with your ideas and all your tasks. And I think using Scrum is a very good way to learn those skills.
I just think that Scrum was a really useful way to help organize myself, because I sometimes struggle with time management and I struggle with what needs to get done, and it's very helpful to like see a physical representation of how much work I have to do, and that's where Scrum helped me the most, because I can write down what I need to do and I could move it accordingly, and it was just overall I never knew that Scrum was a thing before I took this class. And now that I took AP Seminar and I know how the Scrum methodology works, I think it'd be very easy to see myself using it, maybe not just even once in the future, but probably for the rest of my academic career and maybe into the professional career one day.
Awesome. Well, on behalf of the Agile Uprising, we really appreciate you guys for taking the time out to, you know, talk to us. And it's really awesome to hear from you guys. And Brett, if anybody wants to get in touch with you, that would probably be the most appropriate thing. We will share your, I know you got to run, so we'll share your information in the show notes. And thanks again. And like, bravo.
Thank you.